Hey, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about Sudhir Hazarezinghe's biography. Sophie, I have to ask, did you know much about Toussaint Louverture before reading this?
Honestly, just the basics. I knew he led the Haitian Revolution, but this book completely reframed him for me. He's not just a historical figure, he's this incredibly complex, almost Shakespearean character. And Hazarezinghe does such a great job of cutting through the myths.
Yeah, the myths are wild. There's this one version where he's this saintly, gentle liberator, and another where he's this bloodthirsty revolutionary. But the real guy? He was a pragmatist. A genius, sure, but also a guy who made some really hard, even brutal, choices.
Exactly. And the book starts by showing you the world that made him. Saint-Domingue, which we now know as Haiti, was the richest colony on Earth, built entirely on the backs of 500,000 enslaved people. The brutality was unimaginable.
Right, and he was born into that. But he wasn't a field hand. He was a domestic slave, a coachman, that gave him a little more freedom, access to books. He read the Enlightenment philosophers, military histories, and this writer, Abbé Raynal, who actually predicted a black leader would rise up. It's like the seeds were planted decades before the revolution.
And when the French Revolution happened in 1789, it sent shockwaves through the colony. Suddenly, everyone had a claim to liberty. The white planters wanted independence, the free people of color wanted full rights, and the enslaved majority, they wanted freedom. And they took it.
The uprising in August 1791, it wasn't random. It was planned. It started with a Vodou ceremony in the Bois Cayman. That moment fused African spirituality with revolutionary spirit. And then the plantations went up in flames.
But Louverture didn't join right away. He watched. He built his network. He was cautious and calculating. When he did join, he demanded discipline, no pillaging, and no rape. He knew a disciplined army was more powerful than a mob.
And he was a brilliant guerrilla commander. He used the mountains, struck fast, then disappeared. But he was also thinking about the bigger picture. He fought for the Spanish for a while because they offered freedom and arms. But when the French abolished slavery in 1794, he flipped. He brought his whole army over to the French side.
That move shocked everyone. But it shows his strategic genius. He was never loyal to a flag. He was loyal to the cause of freedom. And once he was a French general, he started rebuilding the colony. The economy was in ruins, so he implemented a system of forced labor. Former slaves had to work on plantations for wages.
That's the controversial part. A lot of people saw it as a betrayal. But Hazarezinghe argues it was pragmatism. The colony was starving. There was no money. Louverture believed in discipline and order. He wasn't trying to recreate slavery. He was trying to create a free society of wage laborers. But he was a dictator in the Roman sense.
Right, and he used extreme violence when he had to. He crushed a rebellion by the mixed-race General André Rigaud in the War of the Knives. That's the tension in his life. He was a liberator and a tyrant. The book doesn't shy away from that.
By 1801, he was the master of the whole island. He wrote a constitution that abolished slavery forever and made him governor for life. It declared racial equality. But here's the fatal flaw. He didn't declare independence from France. He still saw himself as a French patriot.
And that's where Napoleon comes in. Napoleon saw Louverture as a threat. He was deeply racist and wanted to restore the French Empire. So in 1802, he sent 20,000 soldiers under General Leclerc to crush the rebellion and re-establish slavery.
The war that followed was brutal. Louverture used scorched earth tactics, burned cities, poisoned wells. But eventually he agreed to a truce. He was exhausted, and he thought he could negotiate. It was a fatal mistake.
Leclerc invited him to a meeting, then seized him, bound him, and threw him on a ship to France. He died in a freezing prison in the Jura Mountains, alone and heartbroken. But his last words were a prophecy. In overthrowing me, You have cut down in Saint-Domingue only the trunk of the tree of liberty. It will spring up again from the roots, for they are many and they are deep.
And it did. His lieutenants, Dessalines and Christophe, took up the fight. They were more radical, more ruthless. They drove the French out, and in 1804, Haiti became the first black republic in the world.
So the book's big insight for me is that the most radical expression of the Enlightenment didn't happen in Paris. It happened in the mountains of Saint-Domingue. Louverture took abstract ideas of liberty and equality and made them real. He forced the world to confront its own hypocrisy.
Yeah, and that's why his story still matters. It's a story of triumph and tragedy, of hope and despair. He was a man who, against all odds, rose from slavery to become a statesman and a general. And his legacy isn't just Haiti, it's the idea that freedom is a flame you have to pass on.
If you want to go deeper, the whole library's over at 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access.
Well said, and that's the takeaway for me. Freedom isn't a gift, it's a prize you have to seize and defend. Always.
Exactly. We'll see you in the next one.